You deserve to love your work. You deserve to love your job. And it doesn't mean every day, every moment, but generally we do. This is our one life. And so let's try to love it as much as we can. And so everyone who's listening, you deserve to do just that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Behind Their Success podcast. I'm Peyton Squires, the host. And today we have on Rachel Speckman. Rachel spent years chasing high-profile jobs before realizing fulfillment doesn't come from fancy titles. It comes from soul-aligned work. Today, she's a therapist and elite career strategist, coaching high performers to ditch burnout and land meaningful, top-income careers. Rachel, welcome on Behind Their Success.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, Rachel. So give us a background, just kind of your story a little bit. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so I started my career as a K-12 educator, actually. I really loved working with kids. And it's so funny that we're talking about entrepreneurship because I actually loved, I ran the school store with some students. I was always thinking creatively with the students. And I learned after about 7 years of doing that, that I wanted to do more than be in the school environment. And so from there, I actually transitioned to working at after-school programs. And those were actually startups. And I realized that I love working with startups. And I love that let's get it done. Let's figure it out. Minimal resources, that kind of energy. Always the person who sort of stayed later, tried to figure out what was the most exciting thing happening in the business. And how do we capitalize on that? And my career took quite a turn when I went on a family planning journey, unexpectedly so. And when I basically had my first child, I have two children, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, I went back to work and I realized that I wanted to be doing something much different than what I was doing day to day. And took a hard look at myself, as we often have to in those moments. And that is when I decided I was going to pivot entirely, and I became a full-time therapist. So I went back to social work school. I always say the ego goes on a journey, and the coaching business was born, and here we are.
Very cool. Very cool. So it was the part of having kids, right? Kids, of course, change everything, right? They change everything in your life. So would you credit that as, you know, that was the turning point that kind of made you shift? And can you kind of speak to why?
Yeah, I think I went from helping so many businesses run their financials and their advisory boards. And then I would sit down and say, so how are you doing, you know, with everything that we're running? And they would say, not great. But anyway, back to numbers. And I you know, when I had kids and it took me this journey, people started paying attention and I started paying attention to how I was doing, not just what I was doing. And it was a combination of the effort and the mental health journey that having kids kind of took on me, and also realizing when you actually connect with a person about how they're doing, you can accelerate what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it's kind of interesting you say that. I was just with my business group last week in Boston. We do boardrooms and talk through about what's going on in our business. And somebody asked, how are you doing? And same kind of reaction, right? It was like quickly, oh, I'm doing good. And then kind of jumped into stuff. And they're like, no, I was actually asking, how are you doing? And it's kind of interesting how we all just skip right over that, right? It's we give the generic good answer, right? Or whatever that is, and just kind of move on. And I guess because this assumption, maybe we're not assuming that people really aren't asking, you know, they're just giving a gesture of, you know, that's like right. What you're supposed to do in polite society.
Yeah, it's almost more about formality.
Yeah. But when you pause and ask somebody how you're really doing, it's kind of interesting when you ask that good of a question, how quickly the walls can kind of come down. So, you know, you talk about trading soul-sucking work for soul-aligned careers. How do people know when they need to make that change?
So everybody I talk to or that, you know, I work with, very often I'll ask, what percent happy are you in what you're doing? And it's nice because it gives a how are you doing meets a quantifiable number. Yeah. And when we are at, let's call it less than 50 to 70%, it takes a toll on us, of course. And 50% goes to 40%, 40% goes to 30 sometimes. And so very often it's trying to figure out, well, okay, I said the goal is 80%. we think about 80% enjoyment, doesn't mean every single day is going to be 80% the entire day. It's actually dialing into what are your best parts of the day. So for me, I know my best part of the day is when I get to connect with people authentically and understand sort of the pain that they're in and how we can help turn that into something more meaningful, build stronger connections. But I have to figure out, okay, well, to get to that 80%, my 80%, what are the back-end systems that have to get in place? And so for many people, they can identify, well, this is what I think a soul-aligned career is. Okay, well, how do we get there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's a great question. I guess, you know, in the path there is probably all, obviously it all depends on what their answer is and what they're ultimately, you know, going for. Can you share a story, Rachel, of like a time you kind of helped the client through that transition or making that decision, a story of how you've helped somebody there?
Yeah. I have a lot. I'm very lucky. I have a lot of them. Most people say like the largest thing that they gather from working with me, in addition to landing a new role or pivoting internally or trying on something fractionally, is the kind of clarity around these are the things that do make me happy and these are the things that do not. And I say that about therapy too, which is at the end of the day, it's the simplest thing, and it's very similar for business. What's driving the bottom line, or what's driving your bottom line of happiness and enjoyment? How do we turn that up? And how do we turn down the things that aren't going as well?
Yeah, I would agree. It really is that simple. You're right. Like the process can be simple, but not necessarily easy, right? Like simple in the fact that it's really just taking the time and figuring out what is important to you and what is not, and adding more of the important stuff and getting rid of, you know, more of the stuff that isn't. But often we don't take the time, or entrepreneurs in general, especially, don't take the time to slow down enough to even begin to ask themselves those types of questions to figure out what we even want. But if you want to jump in, you know, with a client story here and tell us something there as well.
Yeah. I always like to think of a real-time client, because I've worked with many clients over the years. And like a real-time client, it has been approached for a new opportunity internally. Very flattering being approached by somebody quite senior for a senior leadership, but it's kind of actually realizing this is not going to be turning up the things that I enjoy doing. This is actually going to be turning up the things that I don't enjoy doing. So more bureaucracy, more people management, not innovative, not technology driven in the way that this client wants it. And, you know, there's a lot that comes with saying no to somebody or saying not right now. Thank you. I'm so flattered. And I'm actually going to take this quote, less traditional path. When I left the corporate world to become a therapist, people literally were like, are you okay? What's going on?
Why would you do that?
What's going to happen? I had made a very thoughtful plan around it. I connected with a lot of people, understood the market, understood how therapists get paid, how to build a business. Right? Of course, I hadn't done a lot of it, but I understood the path. And so part of it is understanding, as much as one can understand it, what's in your control wheelhouse.
Yeah, and that's great too. You know, you're talking about your story of a client getting maybe internally promoted there in a business. And you're right. Like, you know, employees, business owners, anybody, like, I think it's a superpower to really understand yourself, right? And understand yourself at a very deep level, knowing what kind of work you enjoy, what kind of work you don't enjoy, what kind of work you're even like naturally good at, or you've done a lot of it, so you've gotten really good at it. And it's amazing when we're good at stuff, how much we enjoy it. As compared to stuff we're bad at, right? But it all comes down to actually knowing yourself, right? Like, and there's lots of different ways to do that. There's lots of tools, personality exams, therapy, and all kinds of different things to get to know yourself. But you actually got to get to know yourself and figure out what you want and slow down.
You do. That's your light side, your shadow side. That's what motivates you. Are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? Are you presenting one way but feeling quite differently, which I call, you know, an asymmetrical presentation going on? All of these are data points. And it's not wrong or right. It's just, okay, what do we do with that?
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that we use internally in our business is it's a personality exam called Predict and Index, which does a lot of different, gets to know your autonomy, your social ability, your detail level, your urgency level. Just like five or six different data points on everybody. And it's kind of amazing. It's you know, it's scientifically backed and, you know, accurate enough that you can use it as a tool that it's amazing with like 6 data points, you can kind of know someone's personality pretty well, you know, when they're coming into our room. We use that internally to be able to work on teams, be able to assign work. So we know like who's good at what, generally speaking. And it's really amazing once you get to know somebody's kind of personality traits in that. And like I said, all my workers, like their dots on this chart are just like in my head. So I know like what their strengths and weaknesses are. It's amazing to be able to communicate through that. And for me to even communicate to my employees, it's like, hey, you know, this is a strength of yours. This is something, you know, may not be a strength of yours, but something you just need to pay attention to. Like, we're not going to put you in a bunch of stuff that you know, drives that skill. But, you know, if you're working on stuff, like, understand maybe that's a bit of a weakness for you. Mm-hmm. And it just becoming as self-aware as possible.
Right, exactly. And then getting coaching on the things that matter most and really overlapping that with what the workforce needs.
Yeah. And for me as a business owner, it's like getting the right people in the right seats. It's like, okay, you're great with people. You're great with detail. You know, like if you have those two people that are like, one's great with people and the other one's great with detail, and you got them in the wrong seats, right? You got the person that's great with detail and sales and the person that's great with people crunching numbers. And I know that's an overly simplified example, but you're not playing to people's skills, right? And you're not playing to people's strengths. And internally, you know, I know you look at this from almost like the employee side of just like, you need to figure out where you fit and ultimately where you can best serve that gives you energy, because then you can't run, right? Like when I'm looking at a lot of this stuff, Rachel, I'm thinking like, okay, what tasks give me energy? What tasks suck energy from me, right? And trying to get, obviously lean to the ones that give me more energy.
Exactly. There we go. That's exactly right. And you're like, okay, this is going to drop. When I'm watching people's success, when I watch people figure out, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I could do this. I didn't realize I could network with this person. That internalized confidence, that's what gives me the most energy. And so how do I coach people to do more and more of that confidence building and application of it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you looking for a new tax experience? Looking for an advisor that actually brings you high-level ideas and proactively plans so you aren't overpaying your taxes? Or how about one that even just responds and communicates in a timely fashion? If any of that resonates with you, you probably just have a tax preparer and not a tax planner. And it is through the tax planning process where all the value is found. And when tax planning's done right, it has a positive return on investment. I'm Peyton Squires. I'm a CPA and owner of Squires Tax Planning. We work alongside entrepreneurs and high-income earners, helping them pay the least amount of income taxes, both legally and ethically. We have saved our clients hundreds of thousands of dollars through specific strategies, and we guarantee we can find multiple tax strategies that your current tax preparer hasn't told you about. If that interests you, head over to squirestaxplanning.com. There you can take our free assessment to see how likely it is that you are overpaying on your income taxes. From there, you can also book a free tax discovery call with our team to see what it would look like to have us working for you.
So, Rachel, what are some tactical habits, you know, leaders or really just anybody can look to adopt to avoid burnout and just kind of stay connected to the purpose?
So one tool I always give people is what I call the internal audit, which is if you look at your day to day and you write down what you're doing, you can actually write down what percent enjoyment you have from those tasks. And then next to that, you can say, well, this is the percent I want to be doing this. And then it's either a conversation with yourself, if you're a solopreneur or your coach or with your team, which is, well, how do I not necessarily align myself to do that tomorrow, but set myself in that path? And the converse is true. I don't like doing these things. How do I hire? I was just talking to somebody about a virtual assistant. How do I hire any kind of, you know, admin, et cetera? What can I automate? Those kinds of things. I think very classically putting up the boundaries and saying, here are the top 3 things that matter to me. Here are my top values. Here's the actual money I need to make versus I want to make $10 million, but at the sacrifice of what?
Yeah. Yeah. To what end? Right. Yeah.
To what end? So I do a lot of coaching people, and I work with a financial planner as well. Mm-hmm. To understand, well, if you're going to make a big change, we have to have a robust financial plan, especially with kids and mortgages and a whole life, right? I do teach at the college level. We're not 18, 22 anymore making those choices. We can mentor those folks. We can give them the tools right now. And so a very practical one is let's make a financial plan for it. Let's hire the right financial team, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And I love, yeah, I love that you bring up finances. And then obviously, you know, that's kind of my specialty in the world I live in. But yeah, I think it never surprises me, you know, working with even just couples, you know, I work with a lot of business owners, but even work with couples, we're just like, people have no line of sight to their financial situation. And then, you know, they're working with someone like you and like, hey, I hate work and or not necessarily hate work, but I'm not, you know, I'm obviously not in the situation I want to be in. But people get in that situation, they feel extremely trapped. And the number one reason is money. And because, you know, most of us live, you know, kind of beyond our financial means or right up to the edge really, really all the time that, yes, you know, you need to, when you're considering a move like this, is getting real clarity around your financial situation and getting a real look at like what's possible, what's not possible, how much income you need to, you know, if you're making some kind of switch. So then you have the confidence to really go into that with your eyes wide open.
Yep, exactly. And so much, I mean, I'm giving some general ideas because these are some general principles, but it's so personalized. It's so individualized. And so the more, as you said earlier, the more you get to know yourself, the more you understand this is my top priority. This is not it. And sometimes I talk about this, you might ask about this, but having a reason, season, or a lifetime, you know, what are you doing for this reason right now? I need this because I have this mortgage or I have this interest rate. It's going to drop in 5 years. Then I'm going to do this for a season. And then I'm going to pivot to doing something else. So really understanding the ebb and flow of, we get to try things on strategically, which helps us to feel less stuck. Let me try this. Let me try that. That's one thing I talk to people about a lot. And we don't want to be willy-nilly trying things on, but we want to be really thoughtful. Like, okay, wait, if I do that, if I know that person does that thing, we do. It's so funny because I talk to people about kind of informational interviewing. It's a kind of a, almost like a high school, college reputation. But if you're really stuck and you're like, I think I want to do that thing, go find 10 people who do it, 5 people.
Yeah.
And ask them the last 24 hours of their day. Ask them the biggest headache they've had. Ask them their favorite moment. How often they have that moment. Then you can start to gather that data and say, actually, I don't want to do that at all. I'm so stuck with 5 people. I didn't go get a master's or didn't go quit my job.
Yeah.
There, another podcast came out that says that I'm the therapist that helps you quit your job. Which is not true. I do not help you quit. I help you look internally to take what I call a calculated risk.
Yeah.
If you even need to take a risk, it could be a calculated assessment of what's going on for you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And it's, like I said, it's just evaluating everything around in your career, right? Like it's looking around at all your superiors at work or whatever you're doing. And, you know, that's where I found myself right outside of college. I was at a bank for 2 years and I'm sitting here looking at everybody around me. And I'm like, I don't want any of their jobs. Like, I don't want any of them. Right.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing the people in front of you that like natural progression. Like if you're in the corporate world, like, do you want their jobs? And if you do, awesome. Right. Then you work hard and do whatever you got to do right there. But if you don't, well, you better start figuring out kind of what, you know, what's next, right?
Yep.
And yeah, it's just kind of interesting seeing people struggle a lot with that, right? And or they get in the corporate world, they get, you know, golden handcuffs too, right? Where you've got married, you got kids, you got the corporate salary, you've got the retirement account, and that life you've built, if you haven't made a lot of great, if you haven't made a lot of great financial decisions, you know, over the years, it can take a lot of upfront work to be able to peel that back and try to be able to escape that world that you kind of built yourself. It's not going to be an overnight thing necessarily.
No, it's not. A lot of people ask me that. How long is it going to take me to get unstuck? And I said, well, how long did it take you to get stuck?
Yeah, that's about how long it'll take you to get unstuck.
And it's okay if we're stuck. I mean, I was really stuck, you know, and I have moments, of course, where not that I'm still stuck, but I have moments where we're all trying to move the ship in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's a constant game, right? It's not like, oh, I figured this game out and I'm over now. You know what I mean? It's a constant tweak. It's a constant of how can I make my life a little better? How can I get a little more of the good and a little less of the bad, right? And then the awesome thing is you get to decide what that is. Like you get to decide what is good and what is bad.
It's really true. You know, and a lot of people do stay stuck for, I would say, a few reasons. Like fear is number one. Fear of the unknown. What about this? Is the devil I know? Is the devil I don't? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people get stuck because they have a lot of loyalty to their company or their boss, and that's great. And I have wonderful working relationships with everybody I've worked with, most people I've worked with. And at the same time, you can outgrow a boss, you can outgrow a job.
Yeah, for sure.
Your life priorities can change, and so it's a lot of giving yourself permission for those things.
Yeah. And I think all of that you just said there comes down to not necessarily putting what someone else thinks in front of what you think, right?
Yeah.
And really just owning what, you know, I'm a relationship guy, and I love relationships with people and taking care of people. And I'm a recovering people pleaser big time. That's just me in my natural state. I understand that. And I've gotten a lot better over the years drawing the lines of what I do, what I don't do, and drawing the lines clear. So people, you know, people respect that, you know, if you draw the lines clear of what you do and what you don't. And yeah, and I understand having loyalty to your company. I hope my guys, all my people, are loyal to the company, but at the same time, like you and your family are the most important to you. Right.
Right.
And I'll tell you, especially if you're in the corporate world, if you think anybody has any loyalty to you, the second you don't make sense to work there anymore, you will be let go. So just knowing that, you know, they're going to look out for their interests. So you need to look out for your interest.
And finding people that vibrate with that frequency as well. And I think being a natural people pleaser, I mean, I'm a natural giver. Many people in the therapy industry are, you know. So I'll meet with people and they say, could you coach me on this? Could you, you know, and I wish I could. I, of course, can't do it for free. I want to work with you. It's trying to think through how do I capitalize? How do you capitalize on the skills and strengths that you have, and be really mindful of charging what you're worth, saying this is a business decision, keeping it warm and friendly. I mean, all of these things.
Yeah. It took me a lot of years to learn one of those lessons for sure. You know, starting my business 10 plus years ago, and especially being a small town guy and just, you know, taking care of people and not realizing that, yeah, you just need to draw these clear lines and everything's fine. But yeah, you got to draw those lines.
You do. You really do. I've had to learn that as well, like working with friends and family and those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So Rachel, how important is storytelling and personal narrative to reinventing your career path?
Oh, it's very important, because you asked me my story earlier, and what I try to convey through my story is no matter what I was doing, no matter where I was, I wanted to help people solve their problems. That is something that I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
How I do that, where I do that, what problems I'm solving, that's actually the thread, the connectivity, those kinds of things. So the personal storytelling is how, where, why you do it. But really at the focus is why you're doing it. What lights you up about it? And so that personal marketing piece, whether it's online, at an event, on a podcast, that's really reflecting who you are, your values, and what you'll say yes to, what you'll say no to in terms of the people you want to work with and the projects you want to manage.
Yeah. And it's kind of having that, you know, it's having those core values, having those stories and figuring out, well, yeah, like you said, just what is important to you and what, who your business serves and who you don't, right? And, you know, that's something I went through with an executive coach and my team did even recently, just talking about the story of our business and why it was established. And a lot of it comes back to me as the founder and maybe growing up and somewhat financial insecurity and not wanting that for myself, right? And then, you know, then in turn, you know, I've learned a lot of things, and then we're in turn serving, you know, serving other people to help them with the skills that we have. And it really all comes from my childhood financial insecurity, like, you know, that I felt as a kid. I didn't want to be poor. You know, it makes me all anxious.
I hear you. And my story comes from, you know, I felt financially secure, which was incredible. And I also felt at the risk of both of my parents not loving their work. And they brought that home, and they felt, I don't know, the long commutes and lots of politics and indispensable and those kinds of things. And so it can be, of course, hard to have it all But the idea that, okay, we don't want to be have financial scarcity, and we don't want to hate what we do.
Yeah, we don't want to hate our lives, right? Or every day of our lives.
We don't want to hate our lives, right? And so understanding, and that's why I share my personal journey of, you know, and I thought about many things after my fertility journey. I thought of becoming a fertility coach, and that's who I work with a lot in therapy, because it brings up so many issues of control. And I hear you talk, and I won't therapize you, but I hear you talking about what did you have control over in your home?
Yeah. 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 And that's what it was. You know, I was a, you know, 8-10 year old kid, you know, my mom, you know, we were single mom. My mom got laid off from job, you know, work, all the, you know, all those things. Right. Like, and it was just totally out of my control. And some of the anxiety around that. And it was significant enough that I clearly remember that day, right. You know, 20 some years later. Right. But it's kind of neat that I, you know, I'm able to connect to that now. Right. So like, it's really interesting, like the traumatic things that happen in our lives, once you've done some level of healing around it, they actually become the biggest like story you want to share. Right. When you were younger, you were kind of embarrassed by those things and you kind of hid those things and whatnot. And it's not till realizing later that those things are actually the exact reasons that can make you powerful in your story and in testimony and helping others. I think it's like Ed Milet, I don't know if you ever heard him podcast, big time podcaster, but he talks about how you are best suited and best equipped to help the exact same person that you used to be, right? Because you by going through that, right?
Right, and that's the coach that I am is for who I was 5 years ago, 10 years, 7 years ago, really. Yeah. And sort of, wow, what did I need at that time? This is what I help people with. We create a roadmap, a plan, a yes, no, why, and then we tweak it. But it's really, these are the non-negotiables as far as what's next. And many people come to me, they're having health issues, they're having mental health challenges. It's really taking a toll on their quality of life, compartmentalization, the same way that financial insecurity would, right? And so, and then it's making these, okay, I mean, I literally worked with somebody this morning and she says, she's unhappy and she's like a shopaholic basically to kind of fill that wound.
Yeah, yeah, but that's how she numbs herself or deals with things, right? Yeah.
Right. And so then you realize, okay, we all numb and deal with
something. Oh yeah, we all have our own things. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Some are maladaptive, some are positive, whatever, you know, therapy speak, but some are serving us and some don't serve us as well. Some are neutral, I should say. So, yeah, so the habit changes that we need to make to start to say, okay, that was me yesterday. It's so funny, I just said to my son, you know, he said, am I better than I was? Well, I'm better than you, or I'm better than that. I said, we just want to be better than we were yesterday, just every person. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, you'll get it one day.
Yeah, and you realize, and you see that in life, and especially in sports, and sports is great in my mind, a great microcosm of life. Yeah. It's like the best like champions and repeated champions, like they're not competing against anybody else, like literally. And there's a great, I don't know, there's a great meme. Have you ever seen it on online? But it's Michael Phelps, of course, a great swimmer, like in the pool. He's won a bazillion medals. And he's swimming and his head is straight ahead, you know, swimming as fast as possible. And the guy next to him in his lane is swimming, but looking over at Michael Phelps, right? So it's the winners are focused on the finish line and the other racers are focused on the winner.
That's right. Part of the coaching I do is I ask people who have been their most instrumental coaches and why. And I was a swimmer actually for many years. I still am. And I'll say, you know, my coach would say to me, exactly what you're talking about. The minute you turn and you're looking at your neighbor, you're not focused on your own stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. And that and you're toast. And of course at those levels, you're definitely toast. You're not going to compete at all.
Yeah, right? Because it's like 0.001 and you just turned your head and then we get the physics.
Yeah, it's game over. Yeah, it's game over as soon as you turn your head. Yeah. But it is just so interesting. Like human nature, we're always looking to compare and contrast and in a lot of ways that's healthy because it shows us what other people have and maybe goals of our own. But ultimately, you know, the thing that really matters is, you know, taking those baby steps yourself, right?
And being consistent. That's a number, you know, I work on that for myself, consistent ways to grow your business and consistent ways to stay focused, especially when you're stuck. All right, we got to get unstuck. It's going to take this. It's going to take that.
Yeah, and it's tough to stay consistent, right? Because, like, we all go through crap and, you know, stuff happens or, you know, stuff happens in your personal lives. And it's just, it's really easy emotions to pull you up and down. And especially if you don't have, you know, consistent routines that help you keep, you know, a level head and you know, even meditation type routines or something that gives you, you know, I'm a huge fan of, you know, obviously, you know, therapy type things and also just physical stuff, like whether it's exercise, meditation type stuff, whatever you need to do to just get some of the junk and noise out of your head for a little bit. I'm a huge fan of doing that every day.
I'm about to get on my e-bike and pick up my son from school.
I see that in the back, your e-bike right behind you.
Oh, that's my Peloton, but I have an e-bike downstairs and it's a gorgeous day here. And so I diffusing the day, letting it go, giving yourself the headspace to think through what you need to think through and prioritize. It's huge.
Yeah, that's been dramatic for me over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm really getting into a workout routine. Like I love working out, not even just the physicalness of it. It's really like, it's one of the few areas that I can totally shut down my brain and act like and it's amazing when I shut down my brain, like, and not trying to necessarily do anything, how much stuff arises to the surface or solutions kind of come to the surface because I've kind of shut down my brain and just open to receiving whatever solution pops up to me.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the middle of it, you're swinging, you're doing everything, like you're just way too anxious and to be able to see the solution.
I recommend people do is get what I call their own board of advisors. So people to help them make strategic decisions. So companies have that. As you start to get to know yourself and where you're headed more, you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to do what they're telling you, but get their opinion. A few people, you have to be really strategic about that.
Yeah. 100%. Be extremely strategic about who that is. You know, I would suggest people that already have what you're looking for. Or, you know, somebody that's already been down that path, right? Because they can give you a real idea if you're heading that way or not, or maybe even if you should or not. But, yeah, people you respect, like not everybody's opinions created equal. Your mom loves you.
There we go.
Your mom loves you, but it doesn't mean she necessarily knows, like, the best thing for you. And that's just the truth, right? Your mom loves you, but, like, she, you know, she wants to protect you. And that may or may not be the best thing, you know, for you. Last question for you, Rachel. So if you could give yourself, your younger self, a piece of advice about work-life, you know, alignment, kind of go back to the beginning of your career. If you give yourself one piece of advice from your perspective today, what would that be?
That is so funny. Somebody said yesterday when they answer that question, they say, I wouldn't change a thing because everywhere I was exactly where I was supposed to be at that time.
Sure. Well, sure. It's how you progress through life. Sure. 100%.
With that in mind, if I could, I would actually just tell myself, like, it was so funny. I was another person I was talking to today. So much anxiety around money, paying the bills. She's like, but I've never not once paid a bill. I've always figured it out. And I think I would tell myself to trust myself more, which maybe sounds generic, but it's such an internal felt sense of, like, I am going to make the right decision. And it is going to work out. It gets into some spiritual beliefs, but like how it is meant to be.
Yeah.
And you're going to meet who you're meant to meet at that moment. And they're going to come into your life at the right times and really having an abundance mindset.
Yep. And if I could go back and tell myself, beginning, you know, say when I started this business, be something along the same way, right? Just of, hey, it's all going to be okay. Trust yourself. Bet on yourself. Because that, to me, that's, I've studied myself a lot and spent a lot of time working on myself and my business to know that that is, for me and my personality type, that's probably my biggest limiter is like self-confidence and the ability to make decisions quickly, right?
Yes.
And the good thing is I realized that so I can work on it, right? And that's the first step is to realize.
Beautiful. That's exactly right. That's a really good way of describing it. Yep.
Rachel, this has been an awesome conversation. What is the best way people can connect with you, get to know more about you, or just kind of follow you online?
Yeah. So I post pretty often on LinkedIn. I'm rachelspeckman.com is my website. And you can, S-P-E-K-M-A-N. I do consultations with people to figure out where they're stuck. I do a one-time 90-minute audit of what's going on, and I do ongoing coaching with people.
Any other piece of advice you want to leave for the listeners before we go?
I start most of my posts with, you deserve to love your work. You deserve to love your job. And it doesn't mean every day, every moment, but generally we do. This is our one life. And so let's try to love it as much as we can. And so everyone who's listening, you deserve to do just that.
Awesome, Rachel. I appreciate you so much for coming on. And listeners, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Payden Squires, or going to paydensquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.